Praise God. I'm not here to play games. I'm here to do some work. To do some work on you as God has sent me. I have alternative places where I have to go preach. If it is money, oh boy, go preach and they load me with money. But you know, I want to work on you as a craftsman by the mercy of God so you can fulfill your destiny. In the name of Jesus, you will fulfill your destiny. Would you prophesy? Say in the name of Jesus, I will fulfill my destiny. Say it louder. Say in the name of Jesus, I will fulfill my destiny. Don't mind me if I do not shout. Don't mind you. I've told you the reason why. Please repeat after me. Say in the name of Jesus, I will fulfill my destiny. How many of you will fulfill their destiny here? If you will, come on, shout hallelujah. That's why I'm here. I'm not here for yours. I'm here for you. If my life and ministry blesses you and you sow a seed into my life, it's your privilege. It's your privilege. Man of God, you spoke here. You call for people who have testimony so they will give testimony and encourage us. That's fine. But that's part of the truth. Your testimony is more critical to you than to me. I've had testimonies and testimonies and testimonies all over the world, and God has established me. But you see, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word, by their testimony. If you're going to pierce to the next level, you're going to pierce the forces of darkness to the next level, you must have positive testimony in your mouth. When you come to share testimony, it's more about yourself. It's more about establishing yourself in what God has done. It's more about proclaiming the goodness of God. It's more about overcoming the forces of darkness that are standing in the way of your breakthrough so you can move to the next level. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That's why David in the Old Testament was the grandmaster of those of positive confession. Oh, David, I believe I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall know. You just read the Psalms of David. He may complain, he may pray, he may, but he will conclude on a positive note. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. That's David. He said, nations surround me, round about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They are round about me, they are destroyed like the fires of thorn. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. That's, he won every battle he fought. He fought with the sword of his mouth. Spiritual battles are battles of words. And testimonies are very powerful in piercing the darkness. Again, in your church, don't exclude testimonies from your order of service. Let people come and testify of the impact of your grace and of your ministry upon their lives. Of course, as young ministers that are growing up, the testimony will encourage you. Yes, it will strengthen them. It will create an atmosphere of possibility in the house. Everybody that had the testimony will know it is possible. That if God did it for him, he will do it for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Watch Winners Chapel, my friend, Bishop Edeko. He does not play with testimonies, whether in his book or publication or in church, because he has discovered the secret of testimony. He himself, when you listen to him like this, he testifies more than he preaches. As he preaches like this, he will tell you something and tell you something and tell you something. And with testimony, he's piercing his way to the next level. The testimony works for the testifier more than for the other people. So you give room, and it's a very, very, very powerful weapon of victory. That's why if you see our Lord Jesus Christ, you never at any point in time catch him with any negative word. Never. Positive word of assertion, positive word of testimony, positive word of power. I am the light of the world. My God. My God. What a word. He was talking to the Jews. And he said, your father Abraham saw my day and was glad. I mean, what? And they said, you're crazy. You're crazy. How old are you? You're not even 40 years old yet. And you're talking about Father Abraham. And the man stepped forward and he said, well, in case you don't know, before Abraham was, messed them up thoroughly. And they wanted to stone him. But Jesus Christ was so dignified and secure because he knew his identity and he declared it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The saying so is a powerful declaration that makes the force of darkness to run away from you and you pierce to the next level. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Oh, I'm giving you another powerful weapon now. Keep that in your armory. Because I have not introduced my message today. I'm just warming you up. I've spoken to you about appearing good. I've spoken to you again now. I've spoken to you about, apart from appearing good, I've spoken to you about worship. I've spoken to you about the pillar of very positive testimony. You pierce your way to the top as you speak words of faith and power, and you never talk yourself down. No, even when you are not in good shape, you are not permitted to say it. The Bible says, let the weak say I am strong. You are not permitted to say it. It says, let the weak say I'm strong. I mean, you're feeling weak in your body. And the thing that is coming out of your mouth is strength. And strength returns, weakness disappears. If you want to know, we're supposed to behave like God. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2, it said, as dear children, be imitators of God or be followers of God. Is that correct? It said, be followers of God. How does God behave? You just go to Genesis chapter 1 and see how God behaved. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, God made the heaven and the earth. Yeah, and he made everything beautiful. And like you know, and theologians, Bible scholars have told us, there is a wide gap of millions of years between Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Because verse 2 says, and the earth was void and empty. And Isaiah made us to understand that when God made the earth, he did not make it empty. He made it full. So if he made it full, and then in chapter 1 verse 2, the earth became void and empty, something must have happened in between. I mean, that's theology. That's the people that were destroyed, those that were destroyed in those days before the flood of Noah. Go study, you know. Now, but the point I'm making is this. Verse 2 says, the earth was void and empty, and darkness covered the deep. Am I correct? What covered the deep?
Darkness.
Talk to me. What covered the deep?
Darkness.
Come on, what covered the deep?
Darkness.
Come on, what covered the deep?
Darkness.
And God saw it. Because he was the one who recorded it by the Holy Spirit. But you study Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 to the last. That word darkness never came out of the mouth of God. That I see darkness. Darkness is all over the place. Never. He saw darkness like this, and then he opened his mouth and spoke not what he saw, he spoke what he wanted to see. Let there be light. I can see darkness. I don't pretend darkness is there, but that's not what I want. I'm not going to say what the enemy has created around me. I will say what I want to say. Let there be light. And light appeared, and the darkness disappeared. The testimony of your mouth creates your atmosphere. What you say, people will evaluate you based on what you say about yourself. You keep putting yourself down. I don't have money. The ministry is not doing well, and all that. Fine, you have said it. The person you said it to didn't forget. The next time he sees you, he sees a man who is not having money, whose ministry is going down, and things are not going well because you said it. Your own testimony about yourself is more potent than the testimony of 10 million people about you. Whatever 10 million people have said about you, by the time you say something, it overrides whatever it is they say. So you mind what you say about yourself. You don't put yourself down. You don't run yourself down. You don't say what the devil wants you to say. You don't say what you see. You say the word. word. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let somebody say, I am strong. It's a very, very, very powerful, powerful issue in ministry. All the people we respect in ministry today, why do we respect them? By what they say? Hello? Am I correct? Now, listen to me. You came here today to watch drama? To watch film? To watch football? How many of you, you came here to hear a word? Let me see your hand. You just trust God that this man will say something that is going to bless my life. You see, ministry are situated according to the level of the word that goes on there. And you are the man. So be positive about yourself. Be positive about your ministry. That's why you should be positive about your packaging, about your appearance, about everything. Let everything about you and your ministry speak positive. But everybody say positive. Oh, come on, talk to me now. Come on, let me hear you now. I mean, God says light. He saw darkness all over the place. But he never said it. Never. Light, light, light. Everybody say light. Let me hear you say light. And at the end of the day, I mean, if you look at that Genesis chapter 1, you see, and God said, and God said, and God said, and he kept saying, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. And when you get to verse 31, and God saw. What did he see? He saw what he said. It is what you are saying, and you are saying, and you are saying, and you are saying that you will see. Even if you have this house full of money and you're saying, I don't have money, we don't have money, the money will grow wings and disappear. Because that's what you're saying. If your account is empty and say, praise the Lord, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ. God will square up his shoulder and say, yes, that's my word. That's my word. And I watch over my word to perform it. And before you know what's happening, money will be coming your way. Do you understand me? How many of you caught a revelation there now? Okay, come on, shout hallelujah. Oh, how many sermons am I going to preach before I teach the first word today? I preached 3 sermons about your packaging, about worship, about positive confession. These are key pillars, testimonies. These are key pillars for growing a ministry, a vibrant, dynamic ministry. You don't begin to confront, I'm afraid, the devil is after me, the power of the devil, oh my God, devil! Let all the devil in the world line up my road. Let them line up my road now. From the College of Mercy here in Deraba to Ibadan, I will tread on all of them and I'll get to Ibadan safe and sound and sleep like a baby and nothing shall by any means hurt me. Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
The devil is too small to stop you in your destiny fulfillment.
Amen.
You will not succeed.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hey! Do we get into the word now? Do we? Exodus chapter 3. Have I blessed somebody yet? Even if I close the meeting and I say, hey folks, let's go home. Are you blessed already?
Yes.
If you have gotten something already, let me see your hand. Come on, shout hallelujah. So keep that in your pocket. Okay? I have 2 messages for you today. And we may not be able to have too much of a break. I'll deal with one and then deal with the other because they are very important. Exodus chapter 3. Are you there? Let's read together. Verses 21 to 22. That is the last 2 verses. Are you ready? Exodus chapter 3 from verse 21. Okay. 1, 2, read. And I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and he shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and he shall spoil the Egyptians. Father Almighty, as I open my mouth to declare your word, let revelation knowledge flow. Let the prophetic grace come. Let the apostolic grace come. Lord, make a way for your people. By the word that I will speak, let doors open. By the word that I will speak, let lives be transformed. By the word I will speak, let destiny be transformed. And let people make a connection with your divine power today, that their lives and their ministry will never remain the same. Thank you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Today is the 4th of December. Am I correct? And counting from today, we have 27 more days to go this year. If we include today, because today is still young, and God doesn't need a long time to do what he wants to do in the life of a man, just one word is enough. Counting today, we have 28 days to go in the year. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Within those 28 days, God will visit you.
Amen.
The next 28 days are very, very critical in your life. I'd like you to listen. Your year 2009 will be explosively great.
Amen.
But listen to me, my people. There is no greatness without preparation. Preparation always precedes greatness. As a matter of fact, the greater your preparation, the greater will your success be. So we have the next 28 days, the next 27 days to prepare. If indeed you want your 2008 to be 2009 to be glorious, you have to take maximum advantage of the next 27 days and do what you need to do. And my ministration to you today, part one and part two, focus on that. Because I know in 2009 you will sing a new song.
Amen.
It is not the level you are now that you will be at that time.
Amen.
In 2009 you will rise.
Amen.
Who will rise in 2009? Are you sure?
Yes.
If you're the one, come on, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Many of you here, those of them that have gone ahead of you, in 2009 you will overtake them.
Amen.
You will overshadow them.
Amen.
Because God will shoot you forward.
Amen.
He will give you the wings of flight to fly.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, let me now deal with the prophetic aspect. I want to explain this to you. And I want to draw a parallel between the people of Israel and you and us. The people of Israel, they are being in Egypt for 430 years. And at a point in time, God said, enough. That they were supposed to leave Egypt behind and get out of Egypt and move into their inheritance. In year 2009, you will enter your inheritance.
Amen.
Who will enter the inheritance?
Amen.
Prophesy, I say year 2009, in the name of Jesus, I will enter my inheritance. Say, let heaven hear you. Say, year 2009, in the name of Jesus, I will enter my inheritance. Say it again, say year 2009. In the name of Jesus, I will enter my inheritance. Come on, I want you to say, let the devil get mad. Say, in year 2009, I will enter my inheritance. Can somebody say amen? And you see, as you go out of year 2008, there are certain things you will leave behind. You will leave failure behind. You will leave sickness behind. You will leave affliction behind. Because the land of Egypt was the land of failure, was the land of weeping. You know, God said, I've seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. That's this in Exodus 3:7. I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster. So they were in the midst of crying, sorrow, affliction, pain. But at a point in time, God took them out and they left all of that behind. All that have dragged you down in your life and ministry, you will leave it behind.
in the name of Jesus.
As you go into year 2009, something new will happen to you.
In Jesus' name. If you believe it, come on, shout hallelujah.
And you see, just like the people of Israel, the Lord is involved. Now, I want you to believe this. I want you to believe this. I want you to believe this. I said that for emphasis. Because I don't want you to just take it like a good message. It's a real thing. The Lord is involved in the process of your going out of 2008 into 2009. And if you will take your time to listen to him, you will hear his voice, you will discover his will, and he will give you clear direction, and he will provide you solution for all those things you have been struggling and you are sweating with. He is involved. Yeah, he said, I, God, I will give these people favor before the Egyptians. He said, I'm involved. I'm the one leading them out of Egypt. I'm the one leading them into their inheritance. And he now said, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass, when ye go, ye shall not go empty. Would you prophesy, say in the name of Jesus, I shall not go empty. You sure? You sure? By the time you are crossing over to 2009, your debt will have been canceled. In the name of Jesus. You will enter 2009 on the note of abundance.
Amen.
Abundance.
Amen.
You will not go empty.
Amen.
You will not go empty.
Amen.
Please prophesy. Say in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I shall not go empty. Many of you, you prayed over certain things last year. You prayed over certain things, even December 31. And the devil had been telling you it's too late. December is here. The year is always is over. And you can't make it anymore. The devil is a liar. God made the heaven and the earth in 6 days. If he did it in 6 days, he can do anything in 27 days. Over the next 27 days, he will visit you. By the time you are crossing over to 2009, you will not go empty. Those blessings that you have believed God for, you will go with them. Let me hear your amen. Let me hear your amen. Let me hear your amen. You will enter 2009 with abundance. Everybody say abundance. Say abundance. Say abundance. Come on, say abundance. Come on, say abundance. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. Now sit down. Sit down. Now they were in Egypt. There was wealth in Egypt. There was. Egypt then was the richest nation on earth and the most powerful nation on earth. And there's a parallel. There's wealth in Nigeria. Oh boy. Just look around and see the way people are building. Buildings are rising like mushroom in Lagos here. And yesterday I read newspaper and President Umaru Musa Yar'Adua declared a budget of certain trillions. We're not talking of millions anymore. We're not talking of billions anymore. We're talking of trillions. And I was looking at that newspaper and I was calculating how much is my own portion there. Hello? Are you a Nigerian?
Yes.
Do you belong in this land?
Yes.
You will eat the wealth of this land.
Yes.
Oh, you think those trillions are meant for some goats? If you fold your hand, the heathen will take your money. You better go and trace the paper of yesterday or wherever they write it today and find out how much they have budgeted for Nigeria. First, divide that with 100 million. That is your basic allowance. Do you understand the reason why? Basic. And now, you now decide what is your special allocation. Hello? And the Bible says, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the Lamb. Would you prophesy, say in the name of Jesus, I will eat the good of the Lamb. The world economic recession notwithstanding, there is wealth in Nigeria. Just like there was wealth in Egypt. Now, well, listen to this. The wealth of Egypt, it was the Israelites that created the wealth. They made the money. But because they were slaves, they didn't have access to the money that they made. They built the palaces, built the pyramids, built the sphinxes, built the roads, but they couldn't enjoy them, even though they were children of the covenant, but they were slaves. But at the right time, God said, now you are going out. How many of you are going out of Egypt? Your transition into 2009 marks a new phase of your life. Amen. Let me hear a louder amen. Amen. But God now said, listen, your deliverance out of Egypt is not complete until you have taken the wealth of Egypt along. The wealth you labored for, that you generated, I'm going to give it to you. God was saying that. I am going to give it to you. Look at that verse 21. He said, and I will give these people favor. I'm coming to that in the sight of the Egyptian, and it shall come to pass. Everybody say it shall come to pass. When God says something shall come to pass, boy, there is no devil in existence that can stop it from coming to pass. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And God said, there is wealth in Egypt, but you have been stripped. You have been used. You have been abused. You've lost everything. You don't even own anything. You don't own any piece of land. You don't own the spoke of a bicycle. You don't even have any shred of dignity. You are slaves in the land. But I will see to it that I give you justice. I'm going to take you out of this land. You won't be slave anymore. You will be free from everything that has held you down. And by the time I'm taking you out, you will not go empty. Ooh. Please, would you prophesy as I cross over to year 2009. In the name of Jesus, I shall not go empty. You are saying a lot. How many of you know you will cross over? Oh, you will cross over. Because whether you like it or not, some people will still die before January 1. But you will not be one of them. That new year that is coming, you will see it with joy, with gladness, with a new status. In the name of Jesus. But as you cross over into the new year, you will not go empty. Amen. Now prophesy, say, as I cross over into the new year, in the name of Jesus, I shall not go empty. 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 I shall go with abundance. I shall go with silver. I shall go with gold. I shall go with plenty. I shall not go empty. I refuse to go empty. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to go empty. In the name of Jesus. Every debt in this house, by the power of the Most High God, I cancel your debt. Over the next 28 days, God will surprise you. Money will come to you. Favor will come to you. Help will come to you. The wealth of this land will locate you. The milk and the honey of this land will locate you. The abundance of this land will locate you. I open, by the authority of the Most High God, the floodgate of financial help for you. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. If you believe that, come on, shout hallelujah. Repeat after me. As I go into 2009, in the name of Jesus, I shall not go empty. I shall not go empty. I shall go with abundance. I shall go with treasures. I shall go with wealth. I shall go with more than enough. This is my faith. I believe God to fulfill his word in my life. In the name of Jesus. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor, tell him you will not go empty. Find another person, tell him you will not go empty. Find a third person, tell him you will not go empty. Go tell seven people, you will not go empty. You will not go empty. You will not go empty. Hallelujah. If I were you, I will list the debt that I want God to cancel. If I were you, I will list the abundance that I want God to release. If I were you, I will list the treasure that I want to go into 2009 with, you will not go empty.
Amen.
I stand here today with the authority of the Most High God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit through the name of Jesus, and I declare you will see 2009. And as you cross over into that year, you will not go empty.
Amen.
You will go with abundance.
Amen.
With favor.
Amen.
With wealth.
Amen.
With more than enough.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Give the Lord a big hand. That was what God wanted them to experience. Now, please sit down. How will this abundance come? How will it come? Because there is wealth. There is wealth in Egypt too. Oh, in Nigeria. Hey. There is money in Nigeria. There is. There is. How will this wealth come to you? But before I go to how it will come to you, let me give you a scripture that, because see, after this meeting, I want you to take a hold of the message and go into the presence of God and say, God, you said this, you said it, you said it. And I don't want you to just quote my word. Yes, I'm a prophet of the Most High God, but I want you to quote his word. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. See how you will cross over. How the manner of your crossing over. Not empty. No, 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 no. With abundance, with grace, with more than enough. Hallelujah. You are going out of Egypt. You are going out of 2008. You are going to 2009. Verse 11, he said. Verse 12, sorry. Isaiah 55. Are you in Isaiah 55? Isaiah 55, talk to me. Are you there? My goodness, I'm in the midst of pastors. Pastors don't talk. You ask the people to talk to you. That's a pastor. They hardly give because they are the one who has been able to give. They hardly clap. They hardly talk. When you get to your church, everybody is roaring and shouting. And you come and you are quiet on me. Oh, man, talk. Are you there?
Yes.
Go, thank you. Verse 12, he said, for ye shall go out with joy.
Yes.
How are you going into
2009?
Let the heaven hear.
Yes.
Let the devil hear.
Yes.
Let the angels hear. Are you crossing over into 2009? You are talking about what is going to happen to you. How are you crossing over? Come on, how are you crossing over? For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. How are you going? Huh? No crisis, no calamity, no weeping, no money, no assassination, no robber, no violence, no accident, no joy. You are going with peace. How are you going? And let me see a hidden truth in that place. He said, you shall go out with joy and be led forth with singing. So you are not with peace. So you are not just the one going out. You are being led. Remember, I told you in the beginning that God is involved. Wow. Look at your neighbor telling God is involved. In my life, he's involved, he's involved. You go out with joy and be led forth with peace. That's how you're going into 2009. Alright? And he said, look at this now. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And we are talking of the field of they are talking of your congregation, the people that surround you. You know, the Bible talks of the righteous. That shall be like a tree that is planted by the river of water. So the righteous, the tree. Hello? Hello? That are planted in the house of God. They that be planted in the house of God shall flourish in the court of our God. The righteous, the tree. And the Bible talks of the righteous. He said, shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth its fruits in the season. His leaves also shall not wither. All that surround you that make your life beautiful. You know, it is when a tree withers, the leaves wither, that you can see the nakedness of the tree. So long as the leaves are there, you can see through it. Alright, so we're talking of the people that surround your congregation, your joy. In your congregation, there shall be no mourning. I was reading the paper, was it yesterday or today, that a church in Lagos, they found two people dead in the church. As soon as I read it, I said, oh, that must be generator fire. You better don't put generator in the sanctuary, put it out far away. Because that carbon monoxide is colorless, is odorless, is tasteless, and is a killer. And that is what the generator produces. I said, that must be generator. And my heart was like in my hand. Lord, let it not be another Pentecostal church, so they don't blackmail us again. And as I read it, it was a Methodist church. My heart relaxed a bit. Two people died, dead, just yesterday. So there are individuals that will mourn. There are churches that will mourn. There are congregations that will enter with mourning. But God said, as far as you are concerned, you will go out with joy. Amen. And be led forth with singing. Amen. And your congregation shall be full of shouting. Amen. And celebration. Amen. That's what he says here. And he said, the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And he said, look at verse 13, beautiful. And instead of the thorn shall come up the fire tree. No curse, no sorrow, blessing. And instead of the branch shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So how are you crossing over into 2009? With joy and with peace. With joy and with peace. Are you receiving it? Peace. If you're receiving it, come on, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you can take that before the Lord and say, God, I'm going through. I'm not going to die in 2008. I'm crossing over in 2009, I'm crossing over with joy, and as I go, I shall not go empty. I'm going loaded with blessings, with wealth, with abundance. Can somebody say amen? How will that blessing come? Go back to Exodus chapter 3, and in verse 21 it says, I, God, will give these people favor. Everybody say favor. Everybody will be anointed here today, and you'll be anointed for uncommon favor. Every single day of the remaining year, you will enjoy uncommon favor. People will bless you. From left, from right, from center, from everywhere. You will be loaded down with favor. In the name of Jesus. He said, I will give these people favor. In the sight of the Egyptians. Remember, it's the Egyptian that has the wealth, that has the money. The Israel didn't have. So I'll give them favor before those who have, so that those who have will willingly transfer and transmit. You had the testimony of one of the men of God here, pastor, I think it's pastor, of, you know, can you imagine that? 3 tons of iron rod, amen? 300 bags of cement. How many trailers of gravel? 2 trailers of gravel. Decking is finished. Can you imagine? It is not just one person doing that for you. One person, another person, another person. And they are competing to help you. And competing to bless you. And competing to give to you. That shall be your testimony. In the name of Jesus. Receive favor. Receive favor. Receive favor. Receive favor. Receive favor. It is favor that makes you to attract gifts from men. I mean, they will bless you beyond the ordinary. They will not even know the reason why they are blessing you, because God has favored you. Can somebody say amen? Amen. That's favor. I mean, someone just came and said, listen to me. Nobody plays game with that kind of money. A bag of cement now is more than 1,000 naira. How much is one bag now? About 1.5. That is 450,000 naira. And then go quantify the iron rod. And man of God, more are coming. Amen. Before the end of this year, many more people will come. Amen. Help will come. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Lift up your right and say, I receive the anointing for uncommon favor for the rest of this year. Every single day, I shall enjoy uncommon favor, uncommon favor, uncommon favor. In the name of Jesus. Let somebody say amen.
In Psalm 5 verse 12, he said, "For thou, Lord, we bless the righteous with favor without compassing about like a shield." In Psalm 30 verse 5, he said, "In his favor is life." And in verse 7, he said, "O Lord, thou through thy favor hast made my mountain to stand strong." My mountain is standing stronger, taller than the rest, by virtue of your favor. For the rest of your life, you will walk in divine favor. Those who have money, hear me. Those who have the key, those who hold the key to your next level, God will give you favor before them. This month, they will remember you. In high quarters, they will remember you with favor. In the name of Jesus. You know, when it was time for God to do it for Mordecai, the king couldn't sleep. When it was time for Mordecai to be honored, the man developed insomnia. Just couldn't sleep. And it was a divine setup. He tried to sleep, he couldn't sleep. Rode from one side of the bed to the other, he couldn't sleep. He said, "Okay, let me go to the courtyard. Bring me the book of history and let's read." A book of remembrance was open. Before God, God has determined it is time for this man to be favored. Wow, "For thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, the set time has come." Your time of favor has come. This month of December, you will sing the song of favor. You will sing the song of joy. You will sing the song of joy. In the name of Jesus. Come on, shout hallelujah. And then the man began to read. And he said, "This man helped me before. This man delivered me. I should have been killed. I should have been murdered. This man delivered me. Has anything been done?" He said, "Excuse me. Has anything been done for this man who delivered the king?" And he said, "Nothing, my lord. Nothing." You know what? Places where you have served, where you have labored, where you have ministered, where you have sold, where you have toiled, they will remember you. And they will bless you. And they will help you. And they will favor you. On your behalf, I command the book of remembrance to be opened. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Shout hallelujah. And he said, "Okay. Who is there in the courtyard?" And it was Haman, the enemies of the Jew and Mordecai. God is very interesting. My goodness, what a great dramatist God is. "Who is there in the courtyard?" "I'm here, sir. Your Majesty. Come here. What do you think will be done for the man the king wants to honor?" And the man said, "This is my day. I must write the best testimonial. Those who will write a report about you and testimony about you, they will write the best." And he gave the best recommendation. And then the king said, "Fine. Do you know Mordecai of the seed of the Jew?" I'm sure a cold chill will come on him. He said, "Everything that you have said here, go do for him. And make sure nothing failed." So Mordecai's enemy was humiliated before him because the book of remembrance was open. So shall your enemies fall before you. And you will enjoy favor in the mighty name of Jesus. So it was time for Mordecai to be honored. That's what favor does. How many of you are keen to favor already? You're keen. Come on, shout hallelujah. Verse 22, "And now said, but every woman shall borrow of her that is of her neighbor, that sojourneth with her, jewels of silver." Let someone say silver. Come on, talk to me. Silver. "And jewels of gold." Let someone say gold.
and a remen. Let's all say remen. I mean, that's clothes. Man, and he shall put them on your sons and your daughters, and he shall spoil the Egyptians. And then somebody says, spoil. And like that. He said, every woman shall borrow. Now, it is only in the King James Version that the Bible puts it as borrow here, as a translation of the old King James Version. Every other scripture is either ask or solicit or request. Right? Anybody here, you carry a translation other than the King James Version? Show your hand, please. You show your hand. Which translation do you carry, son? Can I have another microphone here? Which translation? Huh? NIV. Read it out. Verse 2. Ask. Everybody say ask. Let me hear you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What translation is there? Stand there. Stand there. Just stand there. Son, bring the mic here. Bring the mic here. You come. Those who read will come. What translation is there, sir? Good news. Come. Read the good news to us. Verse 22. What is this in? Yes.
Every Israelite woman, we go to our Egyptian neighbors.
Yes.
And to any Egyptian woman, our house.
Yes.
And we ask for clothing.
Ask. Everybody say ask.
Ask.
Let me hear you say ask. Any other translation? Thank you. Which one is that? Amplified. I'm coming. That one is a serious one. You will just, you know, split it. Any other one? Yeah, which translation is that, sir? Living Bible. Read it out. Let's hear you. Come. Does anybody have the New World Translation? New World Translation. Somebody, is that New World Translation? Okay. Read verse 22, son.
Every woman will ask for silver.
Ask. Okay. Everybody say ask. Okay. Now, Century Version. Let's hear the Century. What it says. I mean, all the other translation. So it's not that you go borrow. No.
Each woman should ask her Egyptian neighbor.
Okay. Ask. Praise the Lord. Ask and you shall receive. Is a law. It's a law. Seek, you shall find, is a law. Knock, and it shall be opened, is a law. And it now follows to say, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. It's a law. He that seeketh, findeth. And you see, one translation I read, oh, let's hear the Amplified. Yes, let's hear it. Verse 22. Am I communicating to you here?
But yes, every woman shall insistently solicit.
Insistently solicit. You insistently solicit.
Of an
hello?
Hi.
So you are dogged about it. You are adamant about it. You are not ready to take no for an answer. You solicit. In fact, one translation of scripture says, every woman shall demand. Everybody say demand. Let me hear you.
Demand.
Let me hear you.
Demand.
And you see, when demand meets with favor, something big happens. You know, favor means, before you go to ask, God has gone ahead to prepare. God has gone ahead to make sure that what you are coming to ask is already in store, on ground. It's not a matter of go come. By the time you are finishing speaking, they will say, God had just laid it on me that I should sow a seed on my car.
Hallelujah.
And you are talking about a need for transportation. All right. I'll do something about it. Because God had gone ahead to prepare the ground. That's what favor is all about. God has spoken and has prepared your mind. And then you now come to insistently solicit, ask, demand. Can somebody say amen? Thank you very much. You've helped me. Thank you very much. Come on, give them a hand. Those who read the Bible for me. Thank you. So, he said, you will ask, demand what you want. Jesus told us the story of a woman who came to a judge and began to insist. Avenge me of my adversary. And the man won't answer. The woman came back again. Avenge me of my adversary. And the woman was not going to quit. She was insistently soliciting. And the judge said, even though I don't fear God and I don't respect mama, this woman will kill me. With all I would ask her, I'll do it. And God now says, shall not God avenge his own elect that cry unto him day and night? And when favor goes ahead and demand follows, a miracle will happen. Listen to me. This is the word of the Lord to you. Before the end of this year, within the next 28 days, a very major financial miracle will take place in your life. God will surprise you. God will surprise you. My God will surprise you. Receive it now. In Jesus' name. Let somebody shout hallelujah. You will not go empty. Now, how do you solicit? How do you demand? First of all, I want to give you four keys. One, determine what you want. What do you want? What do you want? What is it that you do not want to carry into the new year? What is it that you want to see in your hand before you go to the new year? Everyone that has received major breakthrough from God, they determine what they wanted. Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what do you want that I should do for you? The widow woman that came to Elisha to ask for help, Elisha said, what do you want? What can I do for you? What do you want? And then what do you have in your house? When people come to me for counseling of ministration, the first question I ask them is this: what do you want the Lord to do for you? Sometimes I can say, what can I do for you? The same thing. Because the prophet delivers the word of the Lord. A gentleman came to me all the way from Enugu to see me. He's a pastor. He was starting his ministry. Well, he'd been ministry for some time. He had challenges. We wanted to start a church. I needed help. And he came. I was very, very busy. And he came to the Garden of Victory. Spent almost the whole day. Couldn't see me. I was aware he was around, but I had some important things. So when it was about early evening, like about 5, I got out. I do that in the Garden of Victory. My people are here. I just get out, walk around, a breath of fresh air, chat with one or two of my officials, and go back in. And I saw him. I said, from Enugu, bless you, bless you. I said, follow me. And then we sat on a pavement outside. Just out. Nothing formal. Hey, be very sensitive. Hello? Don't get so formal that the angel that will help you will come with a halo in his head, with two wings under the arm, and wearing a white robe, and say, I'm Angel Michael. Be very sensitive. I don't think they will invite you to a palace or not. They think I'm come casual. Some major things happen very casual. And boy, normally you will never have had that opportunity. If you had come to my office, we'll sit before the table. I'll sit and we'll talk. But this time, I said, sit beside me here. Ramanugo, sit. And I called him a bit. I said, you're doing a great job. God bless you. What can I do for you? And I began to tell stories. And I didn't have more time. I said, excuse me, what can I do for you? And this problem, and I said, fine, I've had it. What are you doing now? Okay, what can I do for you? After 25 very precious minutes of mine, all he needed to say was that, Dad, I want to take a new hall. I've gotten 25% of the money. The rest is this and this and this. And I just want you to bless me and pray for me. I could give him money. I could give him a note. I have 3 of my children in Enugu. If I mandated them to give him up to half a million, they won't say no. I don't have money, but I have people. And people are heavier than money. Hello? People are heavier than money. Infinitely heavier than money. There are people that they see my signature, they begin to run around. What do you want? After 25 minutes, I got fed up. I said, all right, the Lord bless you on your walk in Jesus' name. And I walked in. And I was told he was still waiting, wanting to see where to see me. Wait a minute. He was waiting for an official setting. I sit down, I feel form. I had already seen you, was spent 25 minutes and you've asked for nothing. So I called my accountant and said, give him 50,000 naira, tell him I bless him in the name of the Lord and let him go. He could have gone with half a million. But he didn't know what he wanted. He was not precise. He was telling stories. So today, don't tell stories. Help me tell your neighbor, don't tell stories. Don't tell stories. Can you imagine when Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what do you want that I should do for you? He demanded in waste time, said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. 7 words. No waste of time. Lord, that I may receive my. It was not like that man by the pool of Bethesda. He didn't, you see, Lord, I have no man. When they join, God says, shut up. Who tells you I need a man? Who tells you I need an angel? Who tells you I need water? I put those arrangements there for your convenience. I am the one who said, come on, tell me what you want. He didn't know that the one that was talking to him didn't need no angel, no man, no water, no nothing. He was the power of God personified. Christ, the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God. The guy was telling his story. He said, what? He said, stop all your story. Get up and take your pallet. What? And walk. Angel, no angel. Water, no water. Come on, get up. And like a dream, he got up. So today, don't tell stories. Elisha was asked. Elijah said, what do you want me to do for you before I'm taken away from you? The guy said, a double portion of your spirit. He struck it. And what he asked for, the man of God said, you have asked for a hard thing. Do you remember that when Solomon went to Gibeon, God said, what do you want me to do? And he determined it by the word of his mouth. And he said, wisdom. So what do you want? Can somebody say amen? Amen. Determine what you want. Number two, ask from the Lord. He is the source. And then ask from yourself. Put a demand on yourself. What do you have in your house? What can you do with what you have? What gift do you have? What skill do you have? And then number four, ask from your neighbors. Ask from your neighbors. Ask from your neighbors. Ask. You are determined what you wanted. Can I teach you something here this morning? This is the afternoon now. Come on, praise the Lord. I can see you are writing. You're writing. Now listen to this. Everybody here, let someone say everybody. How many of you know, how many of you believe when you go into 2009, you will not go empty? Praise the Lord. Come on, shout hallelujah. I mean, in the new world, I preached this message in a 6 o'clock service in Abuja this morning, and somebody read a new world translation, and he said, you shall be weighted down with the gifts by the people. New world translation. You shall be weighted down with, and when they weigh you down, they just bring gift and gift and gift and gift, and you are loaded down with gift. How many of you want to experience that? Come on, shout hallelujah. Those of you who have computer to study the Bible, go check New World Translation and read that scripture. That guy read it and said, what? I shall be weighted down with gifts by the people. And they're not bringing irrelevant gifts. Hello? They bring you a beautiful Italian shoe and they bring size 11 and you are using size 8. Hello? And this is one of the best shoes you can find. And they brought the wrong size. It's not useful to you. As a woman, you have 2 deep freezers in your kitchen, 3 fridges hanging around your sitting room, and somebody bringing another fridge again. That's excess baggage. We're talking of bringing to you precisely what you need. Hello? 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 I got a card, a wedding invitation card, a very, very prominent person in this nation, doing wedding for one of his sons before the end of the year, send invitation. When I got the invitation, yeah, thank you. And he said, thank you. We do not want any material gift. We appreciate monetary gift rather. That's very good. Because really, there is no material stuff you want to give them that they don't have more than enough. But see, when they give them money, they cannot determine what they will use the money for. So when gifts will come to you, listen to me, heavy money will come to you. They will weigh you down with gifts. And lift your hand and shout, I receive it. In the name of Jesus. Now, can I now teach you something practical before I close this meeting? Are you getting blessed? Am I helping somebody here? Dr. Jack, am I helping you now? Hey, Mama Jack, bless you. Everybody listen to this. Immediately after this meeting, don't let it die down. Go sit down in a quiet place. If you are running a big church organization like some of our people here, you can get your staff involved. Make a list of the people that you are connected with. Hello? People you have served, people that have served you, people that your connection. Make it very exhaustive. Do it early now. Early now. Are you with me? Okay. And then prepare a love note for them for the Christmas and the New Year. You see, provoke their remembrance of you. Provoke it. It may be a small, tiny card like this. I just want to let you know I love you. I appreciate you. You have been part of the grace of God in my life this year. You are in my prayer. Always. And you sign it. And send it to them. It may even be a text message, depending on the level of relationship. Some people, it may be a small hamper, depending on the size of the people and the level of relationship and how close and the, you know. Hello, somebody here. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
And send it. Connect everyone that you are connected with, connect them with love. Hey, are you still with me?
Yes.
If you're with me, wave your hand at me. Love is a winner. Collect them with love. A text message, a card. There are some of them, the nature of their relationship with you is such that you have to get a branded car, custom made for them. I mean, the man is a governor and you have an access to fellowship with him and he knows you by name. Get a branded car, nice, exquisitely made, and then you sign it. Your Excellency, you are in my prayer. You and your family, you will not fail. And you sign it and you dispatch. And then you now lay your hands on those lists and say, God, I have sown my love into this life. I call for a harvest. They must remember me and weigh me down with the gifts that I need. As I go into the new year, I will not go empty.
Wow.
Enough for the wise.
Wow.
Enough for the wise. Do you think it is for nothing that corporate bodies, they do that at the end of the year? You just watch out. Lagos Television or any of those television, there will be a time. They will be rolling the thing and say, we thank and appreciate. And then those who did, their head will be swelling. And say, we'll patronize them again next year. Oh, the end. You know? Hello, somebody here. You think it is for nothing? There are some people that the management of that biggest statement will sit down, they'll check their list, and they will determine the level of the packaging they will give them, depending on the weight of the relationship that they have. God, do it at your level and connect all the people you are connected. It doesn't have to be an expensive gift. Maybe a small card. Maybe a lovely text. But connect them. Let them know they are important to you. And they will show you that you are important to them. And gifts, blessing, and favor will come your way. Can somebody say amen?
Yeah.
I want to close this session. Are you blessed? Because the next session, I want to do it quickly so we can pray and close. I want to close this meeting for three. Can somebody say amen? Let's stand on our feet meanwhile. Let's stand on our feet. Are you blessed? Have I helped you? Francis, have you picked something here today? Oh, praise the Lord. Can you give thanks to God for his word? Give him praise. Give him honor. Give him glory. Just worship him. Just adore him. Run the keyboard from his son. Just bless him. Just bless him. Bless him. Come on, bless him. Give him thanks. Let him hear your voice. He is a good God. He is a faithful God. He is a mighty God. He is El Shaddai. He's the King of heaven. The King of glory. The Lord of hosts. He will help you. And I want you to begin to thank him. As I go into year 2009, I shall not go empty. I shall not go empty. I shall go fully loaded with the blessing of God, with the favor of God, with the goodness of God. In the mighty name of Jesus. So barale. Marabaka duku together. Everybody pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Everybody pray in the Holy Ghost. 3 minutes. Who pray in the Holy Ghost? 3 minutes. To close in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now I will do the prophetic impartation when I finish part two, and I will anoint you. In year 2009, your face will shine. You will not be ashamed. Now I want to say something. You know that I said you should do. This is the day of computer. Your computer can generate anything. But you see, let a personal touch be there. I hate circularized stuff. They just circularize a letter. So I'm one of the lot. I just ignore it. I don't even give it any attention. My secretary knows you don't even bring circularized letter to me in my table. I'm no longer at the level you circularize me. If you want me to be interested, you address me as a person, as an entity. Are you listening to me? When you get your card and all that, make a note. Let there be a note, a signature, something that when I get a very tiny card, I say, boy, this is coming from Pastor Faith. I know her handwriting. I know her signature. She's my sweet 16 daughter. Glory to God. And I get excited. But you just send me a circularized bandwagon thing. So I am like any other person. I'm not important. And the key to it is, let that person know that they are important to you. If you let them know they are important to you, they will show you are important to them. Do you understand this? May the wisdom of God be with you. We will take our offering and then our